Over and over again, I tried to let the entire book reflect this, that the holiness of all the saints is only the holiness of Jesus reflected in their lives.
Pastor Will Wheaton, author of the new book, Celebrating the Saints.
And this holiness of Christ is the thing which the saints grabbed onto in faith, and it illumined their lives.
You can purchase Celebrating the Saints by calling 1-800-325-3040 or at issuesetc.org.
We will be one people under one God. One people under one God. Under one God, saluting one American flag. One American flag.
But as Christians, at least, we do have to kind of sit back and be like, okay, at what point do we decide we're not part of the American culture anymore? We're not a subculture of the American thinking anymore.
You can't make the argument that sexual diversity is good because God said of everything that he made in Genesis 1 that it was good.
This is Alex in Northwest Indiana, and I am an Uber listener.
It's one of those times, what do they say, times that try men's souls? Yes. And then they talk about the sunshine patriot or the person who, well, cuts their losses and runs. There are many in the Christian community, some of them of my own Lutheran ilk, that want to do that. They say, look, the culture is done for. No culture is worth saving. Jesus is coming back anyway. So why do you even worry about what's going on in society? And aren't we here to preach the gospel? And if we have to address the ills of society, we're going to have to speak the law. And the evangelicals do that. We don't want to be like evangelicals. You've heard the argument. Of course, you have an argument that ignores our duty to our neighbor, our love for neighbor. We're going to be talking about that, Christian vocation and elections. Pastor Larry Peters will join us here in the first few minutes of Issues Etc. Greetings and welcome. We're coming to you live this Friday afternoon, the 23rd of September. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. After our conversation with Pastor Larry Peters, Holly Shear will join us. She's written recently for The Federalist about the Zika virus, and she says it's no reason to sterilize women or kill children. We'll talk about Planned Parenthood, abortion, and the Zika virus with her. Ken Woodward spent 38 years as the religion editor for Newsweek magazine. He's got a new book called Getting Religion, Faith, Culture, and Politics from the Age of Eisenhower to the Era of Obama. We'll talk about Democratic presidential candidate Hillary Clinton and the United Methodist Church. He says you just don't know what makes her tick unless you understand that she's a Methodist. And it explains a lot of things about Hillary Clinton. We'll get into that. Pastor Chris Roseboro joins us after that in hour two of Issues Etc. This Week in Pop American Christianity. We're going to talk about the story of Elijah on Mount Carmel. Some say it teaches about tithing. We'll see what Chris says. Then we're going to play Issues Etc. Soundbite of the Week. Four sound bites we like to play for you from this week's Issues Etc. audio. After we've played them, you get to call, email, send a tweet, or go to our Facebook fan page and vote for one of them to be Issues Etc. Soundbite of the Week. Your chance to win the LPR bundle package, and I Have Issues t-shirt, an Issues Etc. travel mug, pen, bumper sticker, and notepad to the listener with the best vote for Issues Etc. Soundbite of the Week. Vote or give us a call with your questions or comments over the next 2 hours, 1-877-623-MYIE, 877-623-6943. Send us an email, talkback at issuesetc.org, tweet at issuesetc, and the Facebook fan page, facebook.com/issuesetc, facebook.com/issuesetc. Pastor Larry Peters is a regular guest. He joins us to talk about Christian vocation and elections. He's pastor of Grace Lutheran Church in Clarksville, Tennessee, and author of a recent column titled, Our Country Needs Us. Larry, welcome back.
How you doing today, Todd?
I'm doing well. Some of our, even of our own ilk, Lutheran ilk, would say, look, we're people of the gospel, aren't we? And after all, the culture's going to hell in a handbasket. Every culture does. Jesus is coming again. It's all going to be overturned and burn. What's the use? And since we're people of the gospel, if we go out there and try to speak to the ills of our culture, we're going to, of necessity, speak the law. And the evangelicals do that. We don't want to be like evangelicals. How do you respond?
Well, I think there are a couple ways to look at that. One of the first ways is what you brought up in your introduction, and that is the concern here is not for some ideal or theoretical good or evil. It's the concern for neighbor. You know, it is our participation in the political process is not only to laud the good, but to also to prevent harm from coming, and harm comes in various degrees. There's the the old example of the runaway train, and you're there in the train, the brakes have malfunctioned, you're the engineer, and you have a choice of places, you know, where that train is going to be directed. There's a school bus full of children on one hand, and there's a single person crossing on the other side. So where do you steer the train? The point that we have with the law is not only the salvific purpose that prepares for the gospel, but also to curb evil for the sake of neighbor, to put a brake on the runaway train of a culture that threatens those who have value to our Lord Jesus Christ, and therefore they have value to us as Christians.
So this isn't about a culture war.
I don't think so. I think it's in some respects the culture war is a different aspect of what we're talking about here. We have no option to vote for a culture when we enter the voting booth. This whole political process is really not about the choice of one culture over another. We have no perfect candidate. We have no righteous individual, you know, to cast our ballot for without staining our conscience or you know, keeping ourselves pure in that regard. We are presented with options, with choices, and it's our duty as Christian people not only to look at the individuals, but to look at the consequences. It's not simply a moral choice that relates to you as a person and how you vote, but it's also a moral choice in the aspect of how the outcome of that vote shapes up. And in particular here, my concern is not so much the promotion of virtue, which is also very important, but it's also the protection of those who are least capable of standing up for themselves and who will suffer the most. And that's a concern also for the Christian as they consider what they are going to do when faced with choices in the ballot box that they may not like or would prefer to sit out.
And talk about this, especially this election year, is somehow and so improbably quintessential of there not being any perfect solution in the ballot box. There never is.
Oh, there never is. But sometimes there are solutions that appear to be closer to us. When a president, for example, enters a pulpit or speaks and tries to identify as one of us, you know, it gives us, in some respects, I would suggest, a false sense of security about the individual and about what they are going to do. You know, in this case, we don't have anybody who's really standing up and saying, hey, I'm one of you. So that leads us, you know, beyond the simple consideration of the moral, righteous character of the individual, and it forces us to come face to face with the consequences, with the outcome, the moral outcome. There are consequences and effects that go with this choice that is made. And because of that, as Christians, you know, our duty to our neighbor compels us to think in those terms. And it may cause us to cast a vote that we don't have, you know, 100% approval for in our heart and mind, but one that we believe will be the lesser evil of the evils that are placed before us. Certainly, you know, we have issues of religious liberty that are at the heart and core of what's happening in this election. And that impinges upon our ability to speak the gospel and to live the Christian life in the public square. We have issues that relate to life, the sanctity of life. These issues are pressing issues. We are not only in the midst of a theoretical abortion debate, we are in the midst of a wholesale change in the way we think of life itself, its value, its sacredness, as a gift from God. The third thing that's in bottom in all of this are the issues of marriage and family. Now, to one degree or another, you know, a candidate that is before us today may appear to be more or less favorable on these issues. We don't have a righteous person there. We don't have a person who has a clean bill, so to speak, which we can look at and breathe a sigh of relief and pull the lever on the machine. But we do have important issues that impinge upon us as Christians, upon the nature and future of the life of the church and its agencies to do the work that God has given us to do the work of the kingdom, and finally, for the sake of the neighbor in most need, especially here I'm thinking of the sanctity of life issues, and those things that relate to marriage and family, which are certainly powerful considerations for every Christian as they sit around, you know, a cup of coffee with their friends, as they talk in the parking lot after church, and as they wrestle with this choice that they're going to have to make on Election Day, November 8th.
How much of this hesitancy on the part of, let's just talk about us Lutherans, how much of this hesitancy to get involved here is not born so much of theology, but of just kind of a libertarian laissez-faire spirit, which is, hey, as long as it doesn't directly affect me, who cares?
Yeah, it sounds nice on the surface, not in my backyard. As long as it's not in my backyard, I don't really care what happens somewhere else. But, of course, it is in our backyard. Our Christian colleges, specifically our Lutheran ones, are fighting for their life in the face of an encroaching government intrusion on religious liberty and a desire to strip from those schools the ability to be Christian in any sense of that term. So it is in our backyard. Churches and the agencies that churches operate, from daycare centers to preschools to elementary schools to food pantries, I mean, you name it, these things are increasingly under the purview of an unfriendly desire to control and to direct what churches do in the public square. So it is in our backyard. It is in our backyard more than we care to admit, and there is no insulated place. There is no real what's been called the Benedict option, the idea of, you know, of going literally underground. There is no real option for us. We have to face a certain amount of participation in the public square, and instead of lamenting that, one of the things that Scripture does is it reminds us that we have a duty to be citizens. We have a duty to be good citizens. We have a duty to be citizens who exercise our faith, not only in decrying what is wrong or evil, but also in heralding what is good and right. And finally, as we hear over and over again in the parable of the Good Samaritan, making sure that we don't just pass by on the other side, but we engage in the messy business, and it is a messy one, of trying to sort out as much good and as little evil as is possible when we live out our lives as Christians in this country.
Larry Peters is our guest. He's pastor of Grace Lutheran Church in Clarksville, Tennessee, and author of a recent column titled, Our Country Needs Us. We're talking about Christian vocation and election when we come back. We also pray for good government, don't we? And we not only pray for it, we are called upon in our neighbor's name to act for it as well. And peaceful times, those things we pray for. We'll talk about that after this. To you people, but don't look now. Mr. Politician, please don't deceive us, Mr. Politician. No, they don't believe us. Just how can we tell, Mr. Wendell?
I think every man, every Christian should consider, at least, the possibility of God calling him into the holy ministry.
Issues Etc. regular guest, Dr. Carl Fekencher of Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana.
Because that's the way that God has designed for faith in Christ Jesus to be spread, for the gift of eternal life that Christ Jesus earned by his death and resurrection to be shared with people by the washing of baptism for infants and for adults, for the instruction, the proclamation of the word that happens on a nonstop basis in God's kingdom. God uses people, he uses men to be those proclaimers, to be those men who share the sacraments.
If you've ever considered becoming a pastor, contact Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana. Their phone number, 1-800-481-2155, 1-800-481-2155, or visit ctsfw.edu.
Lutheranism in the Public Square. You're listening to Issues Etc. Christological.
My friends, Jesus comes only for sinners.
Historical.
I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by...
Sacramental.
Take and eat. This is the true body of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, given unto death for your sins.
To find a Christological, historical, and sacramental church near you, go to issuesetc.org and click Find a Church.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Pastor Larry Peters is our guest. We're talking about Christian vocation and elections. He has an article that he has written, a column called Our Country Needs Us. You can read it at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand. Larry, let's talk about the fact that in addition to what you've said so far, the church is not only called upon, commanded to, pray for peace in our time that and for our governing authorities, but also for good government and in our system of government, that means us and our participation.
We pray for good government. We pray for the kind of government which will permit us to be good Christians in our neighborhoods and in our communities and in our nation. And that is not necessarily praying for people who will be like-minded to us. Certainly, I would love it if there was a candidate who was standing for election who was somebody who mirrored all of my opinions, and that would be a morally pure choice. But more than that, what we seek are those leaders who will enable us by the guarantee of freedom to be good Christian citizens in our communities, and that means praying. Not only for the individual, it means praying for all the institutions of government and all the ways that government works for the common good. And I think sometimes, as Christians, we're tempted to believe that when we pray for politicians we don't like, we pray for them to be removed from office and for better ones to be put in. And when we pray for good politicians, we pray that they always remain in office and remain there. That's kind of a more superficial character of the prayer. The prayer here is really we pray for our leaders because we need the freedom to operate within our society. We need the freedom to exercise our role as witnesses for the gospel and as neighbors to those around us. And where the government impinges upon this, where there are serious threats to that, that's where the prayers of God's people are needed even more.
Then again, let's talk about that hesitancy again. Is part of the hesitancy then born again, not of any kind of theological principle, but of a misconception of how Christians ought to think of government, as though there were no such thing as good government, as though government weren't good and instituted for good, but kind of a necessary evil.
Well, Wilhelm Leia thought this whole American experiment was a little bit like organized chaos. Sometimes I think that we as Lutherans coming out of areas where we didn't exactly vote for those who led us, it was a little bit easier for us. The truth is we live in a culture and a society where we vote for our leaders. And I know there are those people who say that your individual vote doesn't count. Well, it does count. We saw that really less than 100,000 votes in 2000 would have changed the whole outcome of the election. That's 100,000 votes. It's a few votes in every precinct, in other words. So the first thing is to admit that our votes do count. They not only count because they make a difference in who's elected, they count because this is the exercise of good Christian citizenship. The second thing is, along with that, is that we have the opportunity in this country and we have the obligation to vote for our conscience. And our conscience here does not mean an individual sense of right or wrong, but it means literally voting our faith. And that is a challenge for us, because sometimes the easiest thing, the thing we desire most, is to be sort of aloof from the situation, because when things go bad, we can't be blamed because we didn't have anything to do with the election of that individual or for putting that person into office. But voting thoughtfully and responsibly is the civil version of the Good Samaritan duty and obligation that belongs to each of us as Christian individuals.
You say, and I want you to carefully explain this, because it's easily misunderstood, especially in a society where people think of America as kind of a quasi-Christian nation, or even to the extreme of thinking of it as theologically as a Christian nation. But you do say that America has lost its soul. In what sense do you mean that?
Well, there's all this talk about diversity. Well, America was always diverse. I grew up in a Swedish-German community in the Midwest, and the Swedish-German culture was still active when I was a child. It still pretty much defined the community and the people within that community. America has always been not really a melting pot, but a stew. We've retained our cultural, our religious identities. What bound us together, what defined the fabric of our culture was a sense of right and wrong, a culture of personal responsibility. And so when America lost its soul, it's not that we were a Christian nation at one point in time, and now we are not a Christian nation. I'm not sure there is such a thing as a Christian nation. There are nations that have predominantly Christian people in them, to be sure. But we lost our soul in the sense that we became confused by the values that united us. We began to substitute new values for the old values that once were the anchors on which our communities built, our families existed, our liberties were guaranteed. And these new values are not strong enough, they're not sturdy enough to build a strong national identity and future. And we see that in the violence and the fear and the suspicion that is manifesting itself all throughout our communities. We see it on the news every night. A secular culture which is suspicious of religion, a secular culture which confuses the values of diversity and unrestrained desire with the values of virtue, of right, of wrong, and of personal responsibility is not strong enough to sustain itself. So you know, Christians have a role here, not simply in witnessing their faith, but also in helping us remember what it is that enabled us, a people of many different cultures, of many different languages, of many different ethnic backgrounds, to be a nation where we enjoyed this great gift of liberty, and we used it to pursue not simply individual desire, but a common good.
Pastor Larry Peters is pastor of Grace Lutheran Church in Clarksville, Tennessee, and author of a recent column titled, Our Country Needs Us. Larry, thank you very much for your time. Keep up the good work.
Thank you, Todd, and have a great day.
Folks, Grace Lutheran Church in Clarksville, Tennessee is a congregational sponsor of Issues Etc. In the Issues Etc. 300, churches who join pledge to support this worldwide outreach by including us in their mission or advertising budget in the amount of $1,000. You'll find an informational flyer for the Issues Etc. 300 under the support page at issuesetc.org. Don't miss your congregation's budget deadline. They're probably making their plans right now. The Issues Etc. 300. On the other side of the break, Holly Shear is going to join us. She's written recently for The Federalist about abortion, Zika virus, and Planned Parenthood. Then Ken Woodward 38 years as the religion editor of Newsweek magazine, will join us to talk about Hillary Clinton and her Methodism. Thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by joining the Issues Etc. 300. Our Savior Lutheran, Pacifica, California. Messiah Lutheran, Danville, California. Faith Lutheran, Capistrano Beach, California. Grace Lutheran, San Mateo, California. Our Savior Lutheran, Grand Rapids, Michigan. St. Paul Lutheran, Hamel, Illinois. St. Paul Lutheran, Brookfield, Illinois. Grace Lutheran, Racine, Wisconsin. St. John's Lutheran, Mayville, Wisconsin. Prince of Peace Lutheran, Crestwood, Missouri. Faith Lutheran, Plano, Texas. St. Paul Lutheran, Austin, Texas. University Hills Lutheran, Denver, Colorado. St. John Lutheran, Topeka, Kansas. Peace Lutheran, Alma, Michigan. Zion Lutheran, Imperial, Nebraska. And Trinity Lutheran, St. Charles, Missouri. Find out how your church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues Etc. in your mission or advertising budget at our website, issuesetc.org. Click support. The Issues Etc. 300.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Listen to chapel services live, weekday mornings from Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana. Morning chapel from Kramer Chapel. Live weekday mornings at 9 Central, 10 Eastern, 8 Mountain, and 7 Pacific at issuesetc.org.
Have you been too busy to get your associate's, bachelor's, or master's degree? Concordia University, Wisconsin offers 50 online educational options. Find out more at issuesetc.org. Click the Concordia University online logo and enter the program code ISSUES to waive your application fee. Concordia University, Wisconsin is here to strengthen and support the church. Lifelong Lutheran learning. issuesetc.org and click Concordia University, Wisconsin online.
Where Christianity meets culture, you're listening to Issues Etc.
Your pastor has been called to shepherd you as a member of Christ's flock. Doxology offers an innovative program of advanced study retreats where your pastor can be refreshed, renewed, and refocused. Find out more at doxology.us. Many pastors report that doxology has been one of the most valuable learning experiences since seminary. Doxology, the Lutheran Center for Spiritual Care and Counsel. Doxology.us. Doxology.us.
At Concordia Evangelical Lutheran Church of Wilmington, Delaware, our mission is to serve our community by sharing Christian hope. We've been doing this since 1938 and joyfully continue to do so in the 21st century. If you're ever in the city that DuPont Chemical Corporation calls home, or is known by some as the credit card capital of the world, we hope you visit to receive Jesus through His Word and Sacrament. Otherwise, check us out on the web at ConcordiaWilmington.com.